Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Comunidad Autónoma de Canarias. Pruebas de certificación de nivel intermedio B2 de inglés. Convocatoria ordinaria de 2022 para población escolar. Prueba de comprensión de textos orales. Esta parte consta de tres tareas. Escuchará cada grabación dos veces. Escuche y lea las instrucciones al principio de cada tarea y realícelas según se indica. Las respuestas escritas a lápiz o en tinta roja no se calificarán. No está permitido el uso del diccionario. El uso de cualquier dispositivo electrónico queda prohibido durante toda la prueba. El móvil tendrá que permanecer apagado y guardado. No escriba en los recuadros sombreados, son espacios reservados para la calificación de las tareas.
Task 1. Listen to 6 radio advertisements, 1 to 6, and match them with the phrases B to J. There are 3 phrases that you do not need. Advert 0 is an example. Write your answers in the table on the answer sheet. Now you have 1 minute to read the phrases. Example, advertisement 0.
You know, it's really too bad the first time you'll meet Euro Collision is by accident, because they truly are a great bunch. They know when you get into a fender bender that you've had better days, so they do what they can to get your pride and joy back to its original form. From collision repairs to glass repair, parts and service to bodywork, Euro Collision gets the job done right for the right price, imports or domestic. Keep your number handy, just in case. 322-2121. Euro Collision on Oak Street East, Leamington.
Advertisement 1.
It's Christmas Eve. The candles are lit. The music is soft. And beside you sits the most beautiful girl in the world. As she unwraps her gift from you, a tiny little box from Lakes Region Jewelers, the look on her face says it all. Diamond earrings were the perfect choice. Ever seen a face light up like a lamp? You will, with a little holiday shopping at Lakes Region Jewelers. Lakes Region Jewelers carries a wide variety of sparkling gifts that'll truly say it all.
Advertisement 2.
It can start your car's engine from Barcelona. It can take you to that restaurant no one's ever heard of.
Turn left on Culver Road.
It can rotate your tires, change your oil, and even send you an email when your tire pressure's low. This is Cadillac Shield, the most comprehensive suite of ownership benefits offered by any luxury automaker in the world.
Advertisement 3.
Electronics. We kinda can't live without them. But what happens when they stop working? Or something cooler comes along? If you're like most people, they go in your closet, basement, garage, or storage unit. Even worse, what actually gets thrown away ends up in a landfill or shipped overseas. That's why I love eCollective. They take my old stuff and safely process it here for free. And there's one close to my house, so it's really easy. Letting go never felt so good. Visit myeCollective.com to find a location near you. eCollective. Take it back for good.
Advertisement 4.
Thinking about selling your home? At ERA Strother Real Estate, our team of agents working with our inventory management specialist, report an 84.5% sales success rate. We get homes sold. Call us today at 910-444-2850. That's 910-444-2850. Or visit us online at erastrother.com.
Advertisement 5.
This is your captain speaking. I hear some passengers are buckling up for a long car ride before flying. Here's a shortcut. Skip the highway traffic and impersonal airports and fly local at University Park Airport at State College.
Enjoy great flights, a newly renovated terminal, and friendly customer service.
Folks, we want to thank you for flying easy. And remember, Superman didn't need seatbelts, but he didn't need an airplane either. So always remember to buckle up.
University Park Airport. Compare prices, consider convenience, and fly easy.
Advertisement 6.
Southwest is the best. Southwest is the best. Fly with us for the rest of your life. Fly with us and save up to 50% on your hotel. You'll also earn up to 25,000 points on your Rapid Rewards card.
And don't worry about having extra baggage, because unlike other airlines, bags fly free with Southwest.
Be sure to contact us at www.southwest.com to book your family a trip of a lifetime. We look forward to you choosing Southwest Airlines. It's just plain smart.
Listen again. Example. Advertisement 0.
You know, it's really too bad the first time you'll meet Euro Collision is by accident, because they truly are a great bunch. They know when you get into a fender bender that you've had better days, so they do what they can to get your pride and joy back to its original form. From collision repairs to glass repair, parts and service to bodywork, Euro Collision gets the job done right for the right price, imports or domestic. Keep their number handy, just in case. 322-2121. Euro Collision on Oak Street East, Bloomington.
Advertisement 1.
It's Christmas Eve. The candles are lit. The music is soft. And beside you sits the most beautiful girl in the world. As she unwraps her gift from you, a tiny little box from Lakes Region Jewelers, the look on her face says it all. Diamond earrings were the perfect choice. Ever seen a face light up like a lamp? You will, with a little holiday shopping at Lakes Region Jewelers. Lakes Region Jewelers carries a wide variety of sparkling gifts that'll truly say it all.
Advertisement 2.
It can start your car's engine from Barcelona. It can take you to that restaurant no one's ever heard of.
Turn left on Culver Road.
It can rotate your tires, change your oil, and even send you an email when your tire pressure's low. This is Cadillac Shield, the most comprehensive suite of ownership benefits offered by any luxury automaker in the world.
Advertisement 3.
Electronics. We kinda can't live without them. But what happens when they stop working? Or something cooler comes along? If you're like most people, they go in your closet, basement, garage, or storage unit. Even worse, what actually gets thrown away ends up in a landfill or shipped overseas. That's why I love eCollective. They take my old stuff and safely process it here for free. And there's one close to my house, so it's really easy. Letting go never felt so good. Visit myeCollective.com to find a location near you. eCollective. Take it back for good.
Advertisement 4.
Thinking about selling your home? At ERA Strother Real Estate, our team of agents, working with our inventory management specialist, report an 84.5% sales success rate. We get homes sold. Call us today at 910-444-2850. That's 910 844-2850 or visit us online at erastrother.com.
Advertisement 5.
This is your captain speaking. I hear some passengers are buckling up for a long car ride before flying. Here's a shortcut. Skip the highway traffic and impersonal airports and fly local at University Park Airport at State College.
Enjoy great flights, a newly renovated terminal, and friendly customer service.
Folks, we want to thank you for flying easy. And remember, Superman didn't need seatbelts, but he didn't need an airplane either. So always remember to buckle up.
University Park Airport. Compare prices, consider convenience, and fly easy.
Advertisement 6.
Southwest is the best. Southwest is the best. Fly with us for the rest of your life. Fly with us and save up to 50% on your hotel. You'll also earn up to 25,000 points on your Rapid Rewards card.
And don't worry about having extra baggage, because unlike other airlines, bags fly free with Southwest.
Be sure to contact us at www.southwest.com to book your family a trip of a lifetime. We look forward to you choosing Southwest Airlines. It's just plain smart.
This is the end of Task 1. Now turn to Task 2. Task 2. You will hear a narration about Charles Darwin. Read the following questions and answer them with 1 to 8 words. Question 0 is given as an example. Now you have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the questions.
Who was Charles Darwin, you say? Only one of the most famous scientists in history. He was the first person to explain the fundamental scientific theory that evolution is caused by natural selection, and that humans and animals share common ancestors. It was a groundbreaking idea that caused huge controversy in Victorian England and changed the way we think about the natural world. Darwin was born into a wealthy family in 1809. His dad expected him to become a doctor or a priest, but at university, Charles was much more keen on the world around him. He helped name plants at the university museum, debated natural history, learned how to stuff birds, collected beetles, and much besides. At just 22, Darwin set off on a round-the-world voyage that took him to South America, Australasia, and Africa. It wasn't your average gap year. Darwin didn't come home for 5 years, and the things he experienced on his voyage influenced him for the rest of his life. He ventured into dense rainforests, climbed mountains in the Andes, and explored the Galapagos Islands, collecting and observing plants, animals, and fossils along the way. He joined the carnival in Brazil, and even got caught up in a rebellion in Uruguay. It was quite the adventure. When he eventually arrived back in England, Darwin began working with other scientists on the findings from his voyage. He published his diaries of the trip in 1839 and became one of the leading lights of London's scientific society. Darwin's health got worse around this time, and he'd suffer from illness for most of the rest of his life. But his personal life wasn't all bad. In 1838, Charles married his cousin, Emma. The couple started a family, and in 1842, she convinced him to move to Downhouse in Kent. The gardens at Downhouse were the site of many experiments. Charles bred fancy pigeons, studied the flight of bumblebees, and grew all sorts of varieties of plants. He and Emma were much less strict than other parents of the time. They encouraged their children to play and explore the world around them. Charles carried on publishing respected books and articles on everything from geology to botany and barnacles. But behind closed doors, he was also working on theories that would rock Victorian society. From as early as the 1830s, Darwin had been trying to answer difficult questions about the natural world. But he knew his theory of natural selection flew in the face of accepted religious ideas about creation, especially because it meant that humans evolved from other earlier animal species. Eventually, in 1859, he published his famous book, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. It caused a lot of controversy, but it gained lots of support too. Darwin's health was getting worse, and so he stayed out of the public eye. But his friends and allies defended his work. Many new editions came out, and the book was published throughout the world. For the rest of his life, Darwin carried on working and writing at Downhouse. He published more books and carried out more experiments with plants and animals. All of his work was designed to test his grand theory of natural selection. He died in 1882 and was buried in Westminster Abbey as a national hero. His theory has been scrutinized and developed in the 140 years since. But his ideas and life's work still form the basis of how we understand the development of the natural world today. Cheers, Charles.
Listen again.
Who was Charles Darwin, you say? Only one of the most famous scientists in history. He was the first person to explain the fundamental scientific theory that evolution is caused by natural selection, and that humans and animals share common ancestors. It was a groundbreaking idea that caused huge controversy in Victorian England and changed the way we think about the natural world. Darwin was born into a wealthy family in 1809. His dad expected him to become a doctor or a priest, but at university, Charles was much more keen on the world around him. He helped name plants at the University Museum, debated natural history, learned how to stuff birds, collected beetles, and much besides. At just 22, Darwin set off on a round-the-world voyage that took him to South America, Australasia, and Africa. It wasn't your average gap year. Darwin didn't come home for 5 years, and the things he experienced on his voyage influenced him for the rest of his life. He ventured into dense rainforests, climbed mountains in the Andes, and explored the Galapagos Islands, collecting and observing plants, animals, and fossils along the way. He joined the carnival in Brazil, and even got caught up in a rebellion in Uruguay. It was quite the adventure. When he eventually arrived back in England, Darwin began working with other scientists on the findings from his voyage. He published his diaries of the trip in 1839 and became one of the leading lights of London's scientific society. Darwin's health got worse around this time, and he'd suffer from illness for most of the rest of his life. But his personal life wasn't all bad. In 1838, Charles married his cousin, Emma. The couple started a family, and in 1842, she convinced him to move to Downhouse in Kent. The gardens at Downhouse were the site of many experiments. Charles bred fancy pigeons, studied the flight of bumblebees, and grew all sorts of varieties of plants. He and Emma were much less strict than other parents of the time. They encouraged their children to play and explore the world around them. Charles carried on publishing respected books and articles on everything from geology to botany and barnacles. But behind closed doors, he was also working on theories that would rock Victorian society. From as early as the 1830s, Darwin had been trying to answer difficult questions about the natural world. But he knew his theory of natural selection flew in the face of accepted religious ideas about creation, especially because it meant that humans evolved from other earlier animal species. Eventually, in 1859, he published his famous book, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. It caused a lot of controversy, but it gained lots of support too. Darwin's health was getting worse, and so he stayed out of the public eye. But his friends and allies defended his work. Many new editions came out, and the book was published throughout the world. For the rest of his life, Darwin carried on working and writing at Downhouse. He published more books and carried out more experiments with plants and animals. All of his work was designed to test his grand theory of natural selection. He died in 1882 and was buried in Westminster Abbey as a national hero. His theory has been scrutinized and developed in the 140 years since. But his ideas and life's work still form the basis of how we understand the development of the natural world today. Cheers, Charles.
This is the end of Task 2. Now turn to Task 3. Task 3. Listen to Stan Lee talking about the creation of some of his Marvel comic characters and decide if the sentences are true, T, or false, F, according to what you hear. Sentence 0 has been given as an example. Now you have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the sentences.
I think the next one I did was The Hulk. Funny thing, I wanted to get a comeback. I always liked Jekyll and Hyde, and I always liked the Frankenstein movie, the old one with Karloff. And in the Frankenstein movie, I always felt the monster is really the good guy. He didn't want to hurt anybody. All those idiots with torches were always chasing him up and down the hills. So I thought it would be fun to get a monster who was really a good guy. But nobody knew that. And to take a leaf from the Jekyll and Hyde thing, where he could change from a normal person into the monster. And I did the Hulk. Now, since the kids seem to like costumes, I couldn't think of an excuse to put a monster in a costume. So I figured I'll do the next best thing. I'll make his skin a different color. I did not think of green originally. I made it gray in the first issue. I thought that'll be scary looking, a guy with gray skin. But unfortunately, when the book came out, the gray was a different shade in every page. One page it was light gray, one page it was dark gray, one page he looked black, one page it was white, and I realized the printer was having trouble with the gray color. So when you're a cartoon editor and writer, you're like God, you can do anything. I said, I'll change your skin color. So in the next issue, I made him green. Turned out wonderful. The printer was able to do a good job with green, but more than that, it gave me a chance to come up with little cute sayings like, I called him the Green Goliath, the Jolly Green Giant, and Old Green Skin. I love using expressions. So that's how the Hulk was born. And then we were now on a roll. The Fantastic Four was a big seller. The Hulk was doing well. So Martin said, Stan, dream up another one. So I did Spider-Man. And when you do a superhero strip, the first thing you have to think of is what superpower will he have? And I was trying to think of a new power. I mean, we already had the Thing, who was the strongest guy, and the Hulk was strong. We had a guy who could fly, the Human Torch. We had the Invisible Girl. We had everybody could do everything. Yeah. So I've told this story so often that for all I know, it might even be true, because I really don't remember exactly. But I think I was watching a fly walking on a wall, and I said, gee, wouldn't it be cool if I had a hero who could stick to walls like an insect? But I think I'm lying. I probably didn't say, wouldn't it be cool? Because I don't think the word cool was in usage. I probably said, wouldn't it be groovy? I want to be nothing but totally accurate here. At any rate, I thought, I'll get a guy who's like an insect. So I figured, okay, what kind? What'll I call him? Insect Man? That didn't sound dramatic. Mosquito Man? No. I went down the list. When I got to Spider-Man, Spider-Man. Oh, that sounded dramatic. So I figured I'd call him that, and then we had him shoot webs, and that was great. And again, I tried to keep it realistic. In order not to make him a typical hero, I made him an average guy who was kind of unpopular. He was sort of a nerd. The kids didn't like him. They thought he was a bookworm. He didn't have enough money. He had to support his old aunt. He was an orphan. He was shy and so forth. And it turned out he was somebody that the readers could relate to. So he became very successful. He became our most popular character. And then came the others. Then I don't even remember the order in which they were, but I was told later, I didn't realize it at the time, but people would say to me, you gave all your characters handicaps. And I realized, I guess it's true. I was trying to make them realistic. Everybody's handicapped in some way. I'm handicapped. I talk too much. But the next one I made blind. I thought it'd be fun to have a blind superhero because I had read somewhere when you lose your sight, all your other senses become magnified. Mm. So I thought it would be great if we have a guy, even though he can't see, he can do anything better than anyone else. Mm. He'd have a radar sense, a sonar sense. He could tell if you're lying because he could hear your heartbeat change the rhythm. He could read by running his finger over a newspaper because his fingers are so sensitive. Like with Braille, he could actually feel the newsprint on the paper. And he'd be the world's greatest gymnast because you get your balance from your ear. So I loved Daredevil. He became very popular.
Listen again.
I think the next one I did was The Hulk. It's a funny thing. I wanted to get a comeback. I always liked Jekyll and Hyde. And I always liked the Frankenstein movie, the old one with Karloff. And in the Frankenstein movie, I always felt the monster is really the good guy. He didn't want to hurt anybody. All those idiots with torches were always chasing him up and down the hills. So I thought it would be fun to get a monster who was really a good guy. But nobody knew that. And to take a leaf from the Jekyll and Hyde thing, where he could change from a normal person into the monster. And I did the Hulk. Now, since the kids seem to like costumes, I couldn't think of an excuse to put a monster in a costume. So I figured I'll do the next best thing. I'll make his skin a different color. I did not think of green originally. I made it gray in the first issue. I thought that'll be scary looking, a guy with gray skin. But unfortunately, when the book came out, the gray was a different shade in every page. One page it was light gray, one page it was dark gray, one page he looked black, one page it was white, and I realized the printer was having trouble with the gray color. So when you're a cartoon editor and writer, you're like God, you can do anything. I said, I'll change his skin color. So in the next issue, I made him green. Turned out wonderful. The printer was able to do a good job with green, but more than that, it gave me a chance to come up with little cute sayings like, I called him the Green Goliath, the Jolly Green Giant, and Old Green Skin. I love using expressions. So that's how the Hulk was born. And then we were now on a roll. The Fantastic Four was a big seller. The Hulk was doing well. So Martin said, Stan, dream up another one. So I did Spider-Man. And when you do a superhero strip, the first thing you have to think of is what superpower will he have? And I was trying to think of a new power. I mean, we already had the Thing, who was the strongest guy, and the Hulk was strong. We had a guy who could fly, the Human Torch. We had the Invisible Girl. We had everybody could do everything. Mm-hmm. So I've told this story so often that for all I know, it might even be true, because I really don't remember exactly, but I think I was watching a fly walking on a wall. And I said, gee, wouldn't it be cool if I had a hero who could stick to walls like an insect. But I think I'm lying. I probably didn't say, wouldn't it be cool? Because I don't think the word cool was in usage. I probably said, wouldn't it be groovy? I want to be nothing but totally accurate here. At any rate, I thought, I'll get a guy who's like an insect. So I figured, okay, what kind? What'll I call him? Insect Man? That didn't sound dramatic. Mosquito Man. I went down the list. When I got to Spider-Man. Oh, that sounded dramatic. So I figured I'd call him that, and then we had him shoot webs, and that was great. And again, I tried to keep it realistic. In order not to make him a typical hero, I made him an average guy who was kind of unpopular. He was sort of a nerd. The kids didn't like him. They thought he was a bookworm. He didn't have enough money. He had to support his old aunt. He was an orphan. He was shy and so forth. And it turned out he was somebody that the readers could relate to. So he became very successful. He became our most popular character. And then came the others. Then I don't even remember the order in which they were, but I was told later, I didn't realize it at the time, but people would say to me, you gave all your characters handicaps. And I realized, I guess it's true. I was trying to make them realistic. Everybody's handicapped in some way. I'm handicapped. I talk too much. But the next one I made blind. I thought it'd be fun to have a blind superhero because I had read somewhere when you lose your sight, all your other senses become magnified. Mm. So I thought it would be great if we have a guy, even though we can't see, he can do anything better than anyone else. Mm. He'd have a radar sense, a sonar sense. He could tell if you're lying because he could hear your heartbeat change the rhythm. He could read by running his finger over a newspaper because his fingers are so sensitive. Like with Braille, he could actually feel the newsprint on the paper. And he'd be the world's greatest gymnast because you get your balance from your ear. So I love Daredevil. He became very popular.
This is the end of Task 3 and the end of the listening comprehension test.